From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Carol Bousquet with the news on this day in Maine, Wednesday, April 23rd, 2025. Maine Senate President Matty Dautry and House Speaker Ryan Fecteau are urging lawmakers to reject a slate of proposals that would either amend or repeal the state's nascent paid family and medical leave law. Steve Missler has more.
Efforts to overhaul or outright repeal the law come before any benefits have been paid, but just a few months after payroll taxes kicked in to fund the program. Those taxes and a benefit that will pay 90% of a worker's wages for up to 12 weeks have raised concerns from employers about sustainability, private plan substitutes, and potential workforce shortages for seasonal businesses. But Dautry, who led the effort to pass the 2023 law, contend that the program was built after years of painstaking analysis, and lawmakers should only consider small technical changes.
To pull the rug out now, to repeal it, to make it voluntary, or carve out broad exemptions without the back work would be an enormous betrayal. It would undermine the commitment this legislature has made to the people of Maine.
Republican-backed bills to repeal the law won't advance in the Democratic-controlled legislature, but at least one bill, backed by business groups, might get some traction. It has bipartisan backing and would reduce the benefit to 65% of a worker's wages, while also allowing some smaller and seasonal employers to deny the benefit under the law's undue hardship provisions. The Mills administration testified against the tax changes in the bill, not the overall proposal. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
Educators and advocates from across Maine are urging state lawmakers to strengthen Wapanaki studies in K-12 schools. A bill from State Representative Lori Osher would create a Wapanaki studies specialist position within the Maine Department of Education. At a public hearing before the Committee on Education and Cultural Affairs Tuesday, proponents testified that although Maine has required Wapanaki studies instruction for more than 20 years, it has not been enforced. Kayla Lohler, a Penobscot Nation citizen, says more support for implementation is long overdue.
It has been written in law, as many have mentioned, from LD 291, that Wapanaki studies must be taught in all Maine schools since 1 year before I was born. And here I stand, a month away from graduating college, fighting to make this a reality. This should not be the case.
A 2022 report from the Abbey Museum, ACLU of Maine, Wapanaki Alliance, and the Maine Indian Tribal State Commission found that some schools do little to meet the requirements, and there has been little oversight to enforce the law. The Trump administration has suspended a $12.5 million grant for University of Maine's floating offshore wind program, and as Peter McGuire reports, the funding cut leaves a partially constructed test array anchored on the coast in limbo.
The Department of Energy alleges that Maine violated the terms of the competitive award for a quarter-scale demonstration of offshore wind turbines. But in a brief letter ordering the university to stop work on the project for 90 days, the department did not cite any specific violations. A 375-ton concrete hull is now sitting in Searsport waiting for installation of a turbine and equipment, and dozens of Maine contractors who were hired to work on the array have been sidelined. The project was supposed to anchor offshore this spring and collect data to show how the technology affects natural wind and waves. Spokesperson Samantha Warren says the university is assessing the suspension and next steps. The Department of Energy did not respond to a request for comment. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Peter McGuire.
Advocates say Maine jobs are at risk if Congress cuts tax credits to encourage renewable energy development. The Biden-era incentives jump-started large-scale solar, wind, and battery projects in Maine that will lower electric costs, says Francis Eanes with the Maine Labor Climate Council.
There are 145 more clean energy projects that are planned and ready to break ground, and they are depending on the certainty from Washington, D.C., to keep these clean energy tax credits going.
The credits can cover 30% of development costs. The policy is being considered as part of a congressional budget bill. Lines at the Bureau of Motor Vehicles remain long as the May 7th deadline approaches for real ID complaint identification to fly domestically. Secretary of State Shenna Bellows says BMV branches across the state are seeing a record number of customers.
We've called retirees to ask them to come back to work, tried to recruit temps, and staffed up. We're still seeing very long wait times.
Bellows encourages people to wait until a later date if they don't have any upcoming travel. She also reminds passport holders that a passport is a valid form of identification for domestic travel. Travelers who do not have their real ID or another acceptable form of ID can expect to face delays, additional screenings, and may not be allowed into the security checkpoint, according to the Transportation Security Administration website. The American Lung Association released their 2025 State of the Air report Wednesday. The report named Bangor one of the best cities in the country for air quality in an otherwise bleak outlook for the country. Maddie Smith has more.
Almost half the people in the U.S. live in areas with unhealthy levels of air pollution, according to the latest findings from the American Lung Association. The report found that 25 million more people are exposed to unhealthy levels of smog or soot throughout the year than in their 2024 report. Maine performed well compared to the rest of the U.S., with no county monitored receiving lower than a C grade in any category. And Bangor made the list of cities with the best air quality for the fourth year in a row. Bangor was the only city in the continental United States to make the cleanest cities list for all three pollution measures. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Maddie Smith.
If you've spent a lot of time outdoors in Maine, you've likely crossed paths with and probably stepped on lichens. This mysterious indicator species plays an important role at the bottom of the food chain and is also habitat for tiny bugs and other microorganisms. Amidst the changing climate, scientists are still discovering new things about lichens and how they may be affected. As part of our Earth Day series, Maine Public Radio's Molly Anking reports.
On a brisk Saturday morning at Bradbury Mountain State Park in Pownall, Maine, park ranger Jeff Pengel leads a nature walk he's titled Enlightenment. And puns aside, there's a lot to see here once you take the time.
Either bushy, tufted, shrubby. If you've looked at lichens, you may have seen British soldiers with the red tips. That's a fruticose lichen. That's one that's upright.
British soldiers is the name of a lichen?
Yep, because it has red little pegs with red heads on it, so...
And it's upright.
It's upright, yeah. It stands up.
There are some 15,000 varieties of lichens that cover around 10% of the Earth's surface. Not to be confused with moss, lichens are their own thing. And they actually aren't plants at all. They're made up of two or more parts, an algae and a fungus working in a close symbiotic relationship. Pengel calls this the lichen sandwich. You have the fungus, the algae, and then more fungus.
When the fungus gets wet, it tends to become transparent. Well, why would it do that? Well, there's algae underneath. So what do the algae do when they have water and light? They photosynthesize.
The fungus protects the algae and provides the lichen's structure. Lichen can also act as a sort of air conditioner for the forest. It stores and releases moisture, making the air wet, dry, warm, or cool. A forest that has lots of different lichens is a good indicator of air quality, biodiversity, and a healthy ecosystem, Pengel says.
There's a lot of stuff that not just eats lichen, but lives in it. And most of those are microscopic, so they're the very base of the food chain. And if you remove that base of the food chain, it's kind of ecology 101, is if you destroy the base of the food chain, the whole pyramid starts to collapse. And if we don't know what we have, we don't even know what we're collapsing or what we're losing.
Scientists are currently studying how lichens are being affected by climate change. Daniel Stanton at the University of Minnesota is one of the foremost ecologists on this subject. He says lichens present a strange paradox. On the one hand, they're very vulnerable to the surrounding climate.
All of their water, all of their nutrients are coming off of the dust and what's in the air. They don't have roots that they can tap into the ground. They can't tap into supplies of water. They have to really kind of experience the environment that's right there in front of them.
But at the same time, they can also be extremely resilient. They've even survived being sent up to outer space.
While they're dry, they're almost not quite bomb-proof, but they're really unbelievably tolerant of almost everything.
Scientists are still learning how the warming climate is affecting lichens, and findings are mixed. Some research predicts that many lichen won't survive a certain threshold of warming. Stanton says somewhere around 2.5 degrees Celsius is a sort of tipping point. But other, more hopeful theories suggest that lichen might be able to adapt to temperature changes by swapping out the algae in the lichen sandwich.
You could get turnover change of which algae are present in the lichen that allows it to switch from maybe algae that are more cold adapted to ones that are more warm adapted.
But this is still speculative, says Stanton. Naturalist Jeff Pengel says he could see the lichens migrating north in search of their preferred climate. And because lichens are a food pyramid base, that could change how our ecosystem here in New England looks.
And that stuff is going to slowly start moving out of Maine, and then the stuff that is common in the south is going to start moving this way. Over time, we would expect that those warmer weather species will continue to go north, which is going to change the basic ecosystem. Does that mean everything's going to die? Probably not. But it does mean that the organisms that we see today could be dramatically different in 100 years if climate change continues at the pace it is, at least in the past couple decades.
Pengel says while lichens are often hidden underfoot, they deserve a closer look. He says he finds something new on every hike. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Molly Enking.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org and join Irwin Gratz for Morning Edition, starting at 5 a.m. tomorrow. I'm Carol Bousquet. Thanks for listening.